So how do you assess, in general terms, the potential value of a personal injury case?
Well, Dean, the court looks at two things. They look at economic damages and non-economic damages. So economic damages are pretty straightforward. You know, what did the doctor cost? What was the ambulance ride? How much does it cost to do treatment, whether that's vocational rehabilitation, whether that's physical therapy, a need to see a specialist, getting an MRI, having CAT scans, x-rays, and continuing treatment. So that's a hard economic damage. Additionally, hard economic damages are lost wages, time off from work to go see doctors, or if you continue to be injured, time away from work.
Welcome to the 805 Law Group Podcast, your source for an entertaining blend of law and legal community updates. Each week, you'll get crucial insights into family law, personal injury, criminal defense, and estate planning, along with the latest insider information about what's happening in the local legal community and high-profile cases right here on the Central Coast. Now let's get started with your host, the founder of 805 Law Group, attorney Bill Ausman. Welcome to the 805 Law Group Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Dean Mignola.
And I'm attorney Bill Ausman.
Well, today we're going to cover how the legal system determines the worth of your personal injury case. And probably when it comes to personal injury cases, that's probably one of the top things people want to know. So how do you assess, in general terms, the potential value of a personal injury case?
Well, Dean, the court looks at two things. They look at economic damages and non-economic damages. So economic damages are pretty straightforward. You know, what did the doctor cost? What was the ambulance ride? How much does it cost to do treatment, whether that's vocational rehabilitation, whether that's physical therapy, a need to see a specialist, getting an MRI, having CAT scans, x-rays, and continuing treatment. So that's a hard economic damage. Additionally, hard economic damages are lost wages, time off from work to go see doctors, or if you continue to be injured, time away from work. And then you also look at, hey, did you lose some time from work in the future? Is there a diminution in value of your earning capacity? Those are all economic damages. What you paid for prescriptions, for things of that nature. So anything that's out of pocket, anything that has a hard dollar figure to it, is economic damages.
Okay.
Also even include, let's say you need to hire a housekeeper. That's money that you've had to spend to cover that up. Mm-hmm. So that's still an economic damage. Then the second category is non-economic damages. Non-economic damages are something that doesn't have a quick number to assign to it. That can be, hey, I didn't get to attend my kid's wedding. That has a value. I wasn't able to travel and see my dying father. These things are non-economic damages. The enjoyment of life. I have a client right now that's not able to go to the gym and exercise and have that adrenaline buzz and endorphins that she would get when she goes to the gym and works out. Consequently, she's added a few pounds and her life is just not as enjoyable as it used to be. She's not able to go out dancing with friends like she used to. So these are all things that are non-economic. How do you put a value to being able to play volleyball or hang out with your friends and run a 5K? So those are non-economic damages. Those are something that we're often able to show the adjuster, show the courts, and able to recover for clients.
Okay. Now, I know you have a lot of experience with this. Can you explain like the criteria used to determine things like this, the economic damages, like medical bills, future medical costs, you know, that are associated with a personal, you know, like, how is it really, you know, here's the big numbers. How is it really figured out and how does it really work in the real world?
Well, there's always a tension going on here, Dean. The lawyers will quite often say, try to discount these bills and not include them. Mm-hmm. Quite often they will attribute them to a pre-existing condition saying, oh, they had a back or neck or arm injury previously. These are not new injuries. These are not to be attributed to this accident or injury. So that's something that's going on. Adjusters are always playing that game and trying to get those the value of what treatment has occurred and disallow that. So we are in the business of making sure that those are properly attributed. We help our clients throughout the process, make sure that it's well documented, that it's clear, it's definitive, and we can show adjusters how that is to be properly attributed. So these are factors that are really important, and we're able to find that we can really get excellent value for our client.
Okay. In what ways do non-economic damages, such as, you know, pain and suffering, emotional distress, contribute to the overall value of a personal injury case? I'm sure a lot of people are like, how does that even work?
Right. It is hard to determine. What we've found over the years is we need to really dig in and find out what are the core values that everyone shares that find value for. In this country and our community, we find that family is really important. The ability to work and the ability to contribute. Quite often people, you know, value their time of being able to be a volunteer, to contribute in other non-economic ways that are very important and meaningful to them, that helps contribute to the value of the community. So these are all non-economic things that we look at. We get into the values that we share with the community and show them how there's been a loss.
What about the severity of the injury? What role does that play in estimating the value of a case? And how do you account for things like long-term or permanent disabilities when you're really coming to requesting a evaluation?
Right. Long-term disabilities are really important that you calculate them and you calculate them well. We'll quite often retain experts to help us put a value that really compensates our clients. By getting into the facts and really understanding the lifetime value of someone's work, it may be more than just your wages. It can oftentimes be retirement contributions. It can be a pension plan that somebody is having to forego. It could be having to have long-term care at a long-term care health facility. It could be having to hire people to come in and help you in your home. So these are hidden costs that we're able to help rise to the surface and really recover for people the maximum value to compensate them for their entire injury.
Okay. Are you enjoying the 805 Law Group podcast so far? Make sure you never miss an episode by hitting that subscribe button now. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. For more information about 805 Law Group, visit our website, 805lawgroup.com. Now let's get back to the show. I would think this might be challenging, but how do you handle cases where, for example, the injured party was partially at fault? And, you know, how does that whole comparative negligence impact the potential compensation in a personal injury case?
Well, this depends, Dean. This depends upon whether it's the adjusters that are doing the calculations or the jury.
Okay.
Adjusters really like to throw out numbers and just stick with them. And they'll assign a value where that's 20% or 40% or 30%. And it does seem rather arbitrary. And it is. And quite often what we found is even though the adjuster will attribute the comparison fault, the comparative fault of one party, we can get the juries to come up with a different value or not find comparative negligence whatsoever. So these are the challenges in a case. We've been able to get phenomenal results for our clients, and we continue to fight for them to show that there isn't comparable fault or that it's very minimal.
Yeah. So that is, I'm sure, a question on people's minds is, what do you do to really maximize the value of a personal injury case during the negotiations with the insurance? Like, what are your strategies to get that maximum recovery?
We do a lot of things, Dean. We work with care providers. We make sure that our clients are getting in, not only getting the best care possible, but we're getting in to the best experts possible, that they're able to properly evaluate what their medical procedures have cost and what they will cost moving forward. And not just looking at the medical costs. You look at, hey, is there a surgery center? Hey, what type of aftercare is required? What kind of transportation expenses are there? What kind of future care is there? Are people going to need help getting in and out of bed or around the house or help with chores around the home? These are all things that we dig deep in so we can find value and we can present that in a very usable, friendly way that will maximize recovery for our client.
Okay. And what can the clients do on their part to actively contribute to maximizing that valuation?
The clients can really help out by keeping us apprised to who they're seeing, when they're seeing them, following up when requested to see doctors, to see experts, and making sure that they let their medical team know that they've been in an accident, that this was caused by that accident. Making sure that every time they see a medical provider, it's well documented that the accident was caused by this injury, this negligent act, and making sure that's well documented throughout and asking the tough questions of their medical providers. Hey, what can I expect moving down the road? If the medical provider is asking for a surgery, find out when they recommend that surgery. Will there be follow-up surgeries? And we certainly follow up with that. But working with your legal team as well as your medical treatment team is really important to maximize your recovery in this area.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, thank you very much, Bill. That's going to wrap up this episode of the 805 Law Group podcast. If you like the episode, please click the like button. Also, subscribe and follow depending on the platform that you're on and click that notification bell. Any final thoughts, Bill?
Well, if you have further questions, feel free to give us a buzz. We're right here on the Central Coast, and we're happy to help you, your family, and your friends.
Excellent. Thanks for watching. We'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of the 805 Law Group podcast. Don't forget to visit our website, 805lawgroup.com/podcast, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or Amazon Music so you never miss an episode. If you found value in the show, we'd love it if you could rate it on iTunes or even tell your friends. Make sure to join attorney Bill Ausman next week for another informative and entertaining episode. Remember, at 805 Law Group, we're turning law into empowerment, one episode at a time.